Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
God gave me this message like a month ago, and I put it in my back pocket as I always do because I never know if Bradley's, you know, if he gets sick or if something happens. And there's been times in the past where a family emergency took place and there was a call made on Friday night, and hey, I need you to put something together. So the word says be ready in season and out of season. And that's why I felt comfortable calling on my brother Charlie Lloyd this morning when a couple different prayer requests come up, because before they even started coming to this house, there was a time where I mowed his grass. And he would come out in the yard before I would leave, and he would say, "Brother, is there anything that you need me to pray about?" And there was a couple times that I said no, but in the back of my head, there was a thing or two that the Lord had brought to my mind. And as that relationship grew, and as I became more comfortable and knew that he shared a faith like mine, we'd stand right there in the yard and pray for 10 minutes before I left. I'd leave there feeling, you know, working in the heat, nasty all day. I'd leave there feeling like $1 million ready to go cut 50 more yards that day, y'all. Because that's what prayer for one another does. So I've held on to this message until the appropriate time. And the Lord confirmed it through Bradley's last message, if you remember it. And then what Rachel Joy brought last Sunday. I'm like, all right, God, I got it. I got it. Because I had two that I was kind of balancing on. And one was the power of pleasing God, and you may get that one later on this year, but I'm going to save that one, and we're going to talk this morning about dirty rags. We're going to talk about dirty rags. There's a story in Jeremiah. I'm going to be in chapter 38, and we're going to be in verses 9 through 13 this morning that I wasn't familiar with. But I listen to other pastors, and I listen to podcasts, and I listen to devotionals, and I read devotionals, and I came across this story, and it hit me so hard. And I will take advantage of any opportunity that I have to punch the devil right back in his face, because repeatedly he reminds me of my shame, and he reminds me of the stupid things that I've done, and he reminds me of the hurt that Adam has caused. So when I get an opportunity and I hear God's truth about a word that I'm dealing with, I'm going to take that opportunity to punch him right back in the face. And that's what we're going to do today, church. Today. So I read, and this is the New King James Version because it uses a word that I need this morning. I usually read the ESV, and it's a really good translation of the Bible. But I'm going to rely on the New King James Version this morning for the word dungeon. And it says in verse 9, "My Lord the King, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die." He is likely to die. And while I read those verses, I hope that someone comes to mind that may be living a certain way, or that may be hung up in something right now, and they're in a dungeon. And if something doesn't change, or if somebody doesn't come and rescue them, they are likely to die. Maybe not spiritually, or maybe not physically, but maybe spiritually. And to be honest with you, I don't know which one is worse. To die spiritually and have to live in this world, or to just physically. "From hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying," this is the king, "take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king," the palace, y'all. Listen to this now. "They went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags." And for the purposes of not phasing in multiple translations, but I love this, one of the translations say "dirty old rags," "and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, "Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, out of the muck, out of the mire, out of the pit that the messenger said to the king that he would surely die in if they did not rescue him. This is an amazing story. And I've had an opportunity to share it with different people throughout the week. And it every time I share it, I see a different angle of which there could be messages or there could be sermons brought about out of this story. So I'm going to try not, with permission of the Holy Spirit, I might chase a sidebar here and there. But I want to stick to one main theme today and talk about dirty old rags. So the prophet Jeremiah, the Bible says he was set apart by God and he had a powerful destiny and the call was on his life before he was born and before he was in his mother's womb. Your Bible reads in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, and we use this in many different ways to speak it over people and encourage, but it says this specifically about Jeremiah. God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Yet he finds himself sinking in a pit full of muck. And the Bible gives descriptions of this pit. And the word of the messenger to the king was, "As if we don't rescue Jeremiah, he will surely die." We're talking about a prophet. We're talking about a promise that was made from God that you will be a prophet of the nations. And yet, he finds himself in a pit. And I had this sidebar out because I told you there's many different approaches to this message. And I feel the Holy Spirit giving me permission for this one sidebar. And this is another message that could be taken from this. But I wonder how many of us know that a calling rests on our life, yet we find ourselves in a dungeon. Or we find ourselves in a valley. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I wonder how many of us are currently walking through a trial or have walked through trials and wonder, "Why, God? I know your promise. And I've had it spoken over my life what I'm going to do and where I'm going. And I'm trying my best to get there, but I keep getting hit in the face every time I turn around and all of hell is coming against me." I wonder what Jeremiah was saying in that dungeon as he's sinking and as he's starving to death, not knowing that 30 men were on their way to save him. So now I'll get back on track. This prophet Jeremiah may have never made it out of the pit if it wasn't for dirty rags that rescued him and pulled him out of the pit. The prophet would have died. "He is going to die," the messenger said to the king, "if we don't do something to get him out of the pit." Culture change is not easy. Recovery is not easy. Breaking an addiction is not easy. Freeing yourselves from friends that you don't need is not easy. Breaking an old habit, an old stronghold that you struggle with, is not easy. People can want it. You can want it. Some of you know my testimony and you know that I grew up with a father that wasn't in my life and that was an alcoholic, and some of the abuse that I've shared with my youth group that I've seen and I've witnessed in my life. And I wanted nothing more than to be a good husband and to be a good daddy. But if someone doesn't throw you a rag and show you how to do it and teach you how to do it the right way, God's way, you will still mess it up. Even though it's in your deepest heart's desire to do it right, if you don't know the right way. But the king heard of Jeremiah's condition and the king said, "I want him out. And I'm going to do it by unusual means. I want you to go to my treasury," is what he told Ebed-Melech. Now, this is the part of the story that's difficult to understand. So I'm going to ask you guys to put on your spiritual eyes and see this story in your spirit, because it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful story. Can't believe I've missed it all of these years, but God's timing is perfect with where you're at in your life to hear this message today. He said, go to my treasury. Now, the question that has to be answered in this story right at this moment, what are dirty rags doing in the king's treasury? So I love Google. I use Google all the time. I Google things. I want to spell stuff right. I like using big words sometimes because they look really good and they sound really good in police reports, and I like putting them in there. So I'll think of a word, and I'll be like, all right, let's see what that word means. And sometimes I'm right, and sometimes I'm not. But they have synonyms, though. So you can find one that fits. So Google says, I just talked to Google. I heard it. Google, I heard, bloop. Sorry. I Googled treasury, and it says a place or a building where treasure is stored. Talking about dirty rags now. I Google searched, what is typically found in someone's treasury? I'm a wizard with Google, y'all. I can find all kinds of junk. It says it contains valuable items with high monetary or sentimental value, such as cash, silver, gold, jewelry. It contains hard to replace documents, such as birth certificates, social security cards, citizenship documents, deeds, wills, marriage license. That's, y'all got a safe, right? Y'all got a safe at y'all's house? What's in there? There any dirty rags in there? Is there any dirty rags in any of y'all's? You got a dirty rag in there? You're going to have to tell me about it later. You just messed up my point. This is the king's treasury, the location where the king would have had his gold, his silver, his jewels, his rubies. It would have been vaulted. It would have been guarded. And yet he told these men, you go into my treasury and you're going to find there a pile of dirty, old, rotten, filthy rags that have been stained, that have been marred, that have been defiled with where they came from. But the king said, I turn rags into royalty. I'm a king who has a place for dirty rags. And it's in his treasury, y'all. Aren't you thankful for a king that has a place for dirty rags, that can tolerate our crap and our stories and our screw-ups and our mess-ups, and he can watch us fall down, and he's standing there willing to pick us back up? I heard a devotional not too long ago that talked about the instant that Jesus came around the corner after he had been beaten and after he had been flogged the night that the soldiers came and got him, and he was face-to-face with Peter. Hours before, he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the crow calls. And it says he comes around the corner and they had Jesus in custody and Jesus' eyes connect with Peter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing in Peter's shoes at that moment and the crow calls? And it wasn't a look of hatred. It wasn't a look of condemnation. But it was a look of love. Said, I'm not done with you yet. So I know I asked you earlier to think of someone else, but we need to think of ourselves. We need to think of ourselves. I want to take you to Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64:6, for those of you keeping notes. And I tried so hard. I'm like, I'm putting it on the screens this time. Isaiah 64:6. And last weekend was crazy. And I did not get it to Bradley. So I'm going to try to go slow when I start with the scripture. So you guys taking notes. Isaiah 64:6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds. That's everything that we do. That's everything that makes us think that we're holy. That's every reason we have to believe that we're holy, are like polluted garments. Filthy rags is what Isaiah 64:6 says. Back when Bryson, he may still end up playing, but when he played baseball all the time, I used to love the white baseball pants. Because, man, when they take that field the first time with them white baseball pants on, it looks clean. And my wife is over here shaking her head no, because she knows what happens the moment our catcher slides head first, and the moment he goes down to dig a ball and clay gets plastered down the side of his pants, and what that war is going to look like when we get home trying to get that stain out. Because I'm just here to tell you that there's some stains, ladies with pretty dresses, men with pretty ties after lunch in church. You know as well as I know that there's some stains that once they're in your clothing, that piece of clothing will never ever be the same again. No matter how hard you work at it, no matter how hard you scrub it, no matter how many chemicals Walmart can provide you to put on it, there are certain stains that your clothes are never ever the same again. So all these dirty rags in the king's treasury, those baseball pants, that pretty dress that got a spot on it, that tie, the world and everyone else says, you might as well throw them away. You might as well throw them away because they're stained. But the king says, I have a place in my treasury for dirty rags, for rotten rags, torn, tattered, marred, messed up. I'll redeem them. I'll turn rags into royalty. Yes, they are stained. But understand this, I have a use for them. I have a use for them. See, the dirty rags represent your testimony. The dirty rags represent the dungeon that you were once in. That's what your dirty rags represent. And here's the key. There was gold in there. There was silver in the treasury. That stuff couldn't do Jeremiah any good. They could have threw the gold in there and it just would have sank to the bottom of the muck. They could have threw a chunk of silver in the dungeon and it just would have sank to the bottom of the muck. See, it took something that had been there before. It took something that wasn't afraid of the dungeon. It took something that could match the filth of the place that Jeremiah found himself in. That's what was used to rescue the prophet. See, some people will never be reached until they hear your dirty rag story. They'll never be reached. I've went on thousands of calls on patrol. You run into a military veteran in a crisis, he doesn't want nothing to do with a man that hasn't seen war. You would go and try to help these people, they don't want to hear. But you bring a patrol deputy who's a military veteran out there to that scene and they'll talk like they're brothers because they share something. Your dirty rags and stuff that you've walked through in your life is what God wants to use to reach somebody who's in that same pit. It's what God uses. In that sidebar that I gave you earlier about Jeremiah, I'm going to touch on it again. The king doesn't have weak followers. Jesus don't have weak followers. I think of Daniel in the lion's den and what he must have said. Or Jeremiah in the dungeon. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting ready to go into the fiery furnace. Job and all that he endured, to the point where his wife said, curse God and die. He said, away from me, woman. God doesn't have weak followers. And I told a young man this the other morning during our devotional time. I said, thieves don't break into empty houses. The devil isn't coming at you so hard because there's nothing inside of you. No, he's coming at you hard because there's something inside of you that God wants to use, and he's trying to rip it out before you reach out to other people and save them. See, the enemy wants us to run from our dungeon. He wants us to run and be ashamed of our past sin. But God says, I'll use that. Amen. See, he sees us from the heavens and he watches us and, oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark. But it doesn't faze God. Because everything that leaves a mark on us and a stain on us, God says, I'm going to use it. Because somebody else is going to come along and they're going to trip and fall in that same pit. And you're going to be the one to lower your rags down in that dungeon. And you're going to help somebody get up out of there. So I say this, don't let the pain of your past be in vain, church. Don't let it be in vain. Don't let the wisdom that was gained be for nothing. I've asked God 100 times, Lord, why did I build my house the way that I did? Other than, you know, for not having a high mortgage and But what do I do now with the knowledge that was gained, with the skills that was gained? And here we are, getting ready to do the exact same process to our future home. And I said, God, I'm going to use the wisdom that you gave me from the process that Sarah and I went through to make sure that this house, when we get to our permanent home, is built right. Amen. So the wisdom that you have and the things that you've walked through, get ready, because you're going to use them again, because God equipped you with them for a purpose. So don't be ashamed of your sin. Don't run away from it. I'm not telling you to be proud of it. You're not proud. You don't make a mockery out of our sin. But we have it as a weaponry, like the taser that I carry and the pepper spray that I carry and the handcuffs that I carry. All of that stuff is there for a reason. Amen. And that stuff that you have inside of you and the wisdom that you've gained from it is going to be used for a purpose. Amen. And I say, God, man, I appreciate those people that maybe have never walked through those dungeons and those people that possessed all the gold and all that silver. But I also think that, God, I thank you for the pile of rotten rags that's in your treasury. God, I thank you for people that have thrown a rag to me whenever I was walking through a storm. See, sin and the world and Satan, they'll throw you into a pile of rotten rags. It will. The world will, sin will, Satan will. He'll throw you and turn you into a rotten rag with a rap sheet. A rotten rag with an addiction, a rotten rag with a broken family, a rotten rag with bankruptcy. And Satan thinks that that stain, he thought that Job's circumstance was going to be exactly what destroyed Job. But what the world calls a stain, God calls a testimony. Is anyone getting anything out of this message this morning, guys? See, God found you and he rescued you for a purpose, and he uses these rotten rags to reach people that nobody else can reach because you understand their pain and you understand how hard it is. And if somebody doesn't reach them in their dungeon, in their sin, in their filth, the word says that they will surely die. I give you Isaiah 64:6 again. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are polluted, are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. I was stained. I was dark. I was damp. I was torn. I was useless. I was worthless. But the king said, I want him. I value him. Amen. I'm going to protect him like he's gold. I'm going to protect her like she's silver. Amen. Because I turn rags into royalty. Yes. And I use people, whoever I want to, however I want to. And I don't ask anybody's opinion of what they think of whether or not they're usable. I use them anyways. Yes. That's what your God in heaven says. Yes. He doesn't care. He can handle it. Man, it's quiet in here. If you're thankful that we have a God that can handle your stuff, can we just celebrate him for just 10 seconds, church? Can we celebrate him this morning that he's capable of handling it? Because your past has no power to hold you hostage. It has no power to hold you hostage. God wants to use your dirty rags to lift somebody out of the pit of depression. He wants to use your dirty rags to lift somebody out of the pit of addiction. He wants to use your dirty rags to lift somebody out of adultery. Somebody else is going to die in that pit if you don't throw them your rag. Somebody's going to die in that pit. You're not worthless, you're washed. You're not worthless, you're washed. And God calls you worthy. I'm going to say it again. You're not worthless, you're washed. And God calls you worthy. See, the enemy don't want you to hear that. And when I said this morning that we're going to smack the enemy in the face, he wants you to be ashamed of what you came through. He wants you to run away from it. He doesn't want you to have the audacity and the faith to expose some of your stupidness, to expose some of the sin that you've walked through in your life. He wants you to run away from it because he knows there's somebody out there that's dying. that needs that dirty rag. And I had poor execution. I was going to bring a big old pile of towels up here. Now, they would have been clean. And I was going to use them. So I'm going to have to improvise just a little bit this morning. So a couple of men, be prepared. There's nothing too dirty that God cannot make worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing too dirty that God cannot make worthy through the blood of His Son. Your stain is your testimony, and that's what God is going to use to pull people up. Your past is part of your purpose. Your dirt is part of your destiny. And the tattered portions of your life is part of your testimony. And your stain is part of your story. God wants to use your story to pull somebody out of the pit that hell has put them in. See, Joseph was prideful. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was fearful. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced 4 times and living with number 6 when she led the entire city of Samaria to her new friend, Jesus Christ. Jacob was a cheater. David was an adulterer. Jonah was a backslider. And Samson was a womanizer. And yet, all of these filthy, dirty, rotten rags are the individuals that we read about in the Bible today that has pulled us up out of our dungeon and out of our pit. Amen. And that now is who we are. The dungeons that we've walked through, now we extend our rags out to somebody to pull them up out of the pit and out of the dungeon that they're in. Because God uses bruised, busted, broken people who come to Him and repent of their sins, and He washes you, and if there's still a stain, it's because He wants to use it. Because He could remove it. But sometimes He leaves it. And I've come to a place in my life where there's some things that I'm ashamed of, and I don't want to ever expose to anybody. But my prayer is turned into God. You can leave it. Because I'm going to use that wisdom, and I'm going to save somebody one day with it. So let me remember what that felt like. Let me remember the wisdom that I gained from it. So that when you bring me one day in a divine appointment across that person, I've got a dirty rag to throw to them, and I'm going to snatch them up out of that pit. Nobody except you can reach that person because you came out of it. You're qualified. You're qualified to tie that rag to that rope and to lower it down because you understand the pain and you understand what it's like to be down in there. And if you don't, they may die. They might die. So tell your story and don't waste your pain. Don't let your pain be in vain. Amen? Amen. Declare the gospel to unbelievers like never before. And I believe that a revival will start right here. It'll start in your circle because of your story. If we won't be ashamed of it, and we'll ask God, God, you bring me somebody whose heart's fertile, who's ready to receive your word. Sometimes I had people in the back of my patrol car, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me say a word to them because they weren't ready. But sometimes I had people in the back of my patrol car, and before we got to the jail, we were praying. We were praying. God will tell you who's ready, and He will send you people who's ready. So you be ready. You be ready. Get over the shame and let God use you. Tell them how you were in prison. Tell them how you were in rehab. Tell them how you were broken. Tell them how you were suicidal. Tell them how you had come to the end of your rope and your dream was busted. Tell them how you were lonely. Tell them how the enemy made you feel like you were nothing but a discarded old dirty, filthy, rotten rag. Tell them, because He picked you. And He chose you today. And I prayed for you to be here this morning. For God to place the people here that needed this message this morning that are ashamed to say, nah, I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed anymore. He chose you, church. That's why hell's coming against you so hard. Some of y'all are getting weary from getting hit. But when you get that perspective, there's something in here that He wants. And that's why my life's crazy. But if I'll just continue to walk steady, and I'll listen to that devotional this morning, and I'll pursue Him. Me and my wife had a conversation yesterday about a song that I love. And there's a line in that song that says, every night, night and day, let incense arise. Y'all know the song that I'm talking about? And there was a conversation that was had about what the exact meaning of that was. Pursue him night and day. Let the aroma of his spirit just be around you day and night, night and day. Let his incense arise. Let his aroma rise. Let his presence rise in your life so that when that person comes across, the devil hasn't beat you up so bad because you're starving for the word and you're starving for his spirit in the middle of the week that you're not ready for that fight. But if you'll stay fed, if you'll stay built up, if you'll let his incense arise day and night, night and day, when that person comes, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You'll be like Charlie Lloyd who walked out in that yard and said, hey, brother, is there something I can pray for you for? And that's why I called on him this morning to pray, because he's ready. He's ready in season and out of season to pray for somebody. Don't let fear interfere with the open door. Don't let fear interfere with your open door, with your window of opportunity. Many people let their past stains stop them from walking through the doors of opportunity because they feel inferior and they feel intimidated. I'm not the only one. See, that I wrote that right there because that's me. Faith over fear. See, I've been in the pit of shame. I've been in the pit of fear that I was going to lose it, that I was going to lose it all. I've been there. I've been in all kind of pits in my life. And I wondered, God, why? Because he could rip you up out of there. He could have ripped Jeremiah up out of there. But there was a process. He could have ripped Daniel out of the lion's den. He could have killed those men getting ready to put Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in that furnace. But God had a point to prove. And he's got a point to prove in your life. He's going to let you walk through some things. See, you don't build muscle sitting on the couch. You build muscle in the gym. You build muscle sweating. I don't have very much, but I'm telling you how it's done. I did have some once upon a time. Let me use another analogy because I wasn't really built for that one. I should have brought somebody else up here for that. Diamonds are made under pressure. Some of the most precious things that we have available to us is the result of a hardship, of pressure, of dirt, of fire. Jonathan, can I borrow you? Can I borrow you for just a second? I won't embarrass you. Come on, brother. You trust me? Delixon, can I borrow you? Kyle, can I borrow you? Y'all just get about arm's length apart. Come on, boy. On the hop. As Pastor Dennis used to say, with some gusto. Delixon, don't make me make your wife tell the story about the soup now. You better come on. Guys, listen. He knows I love him. When y'all get a chance, y'all get Miss Allison to share when they were in a courtship, right? Not married yet. And she went down to see some of Delixon's family. And I won't say no more than that because I don't want to give it away. But it is worth your 2 minutes to hear that story. So get about arm's length apart. Straight line, arm's length apart. And this is where we got to improvise, okay? Because I was going to bring some rags, some towels. Now put your arms down. You see this gap between them? His testimony can reach him and pull him up out of the pit. His testimony can reach him and pull him up out of the pit. And then his testimony can reach him and pull him up out of the pit. And we don't have any more stage space, but it never ends. So see the imagery that's going on here. Because this is the power of the church. Without him, he might not be here. So you see how your dirty rag works? How many of you are here because of a connection? How many of you are here because of an invite? How many of you are here because of a relationship? How many of you are here because somebody out there said, hey, let me pray for you? Yeah, lots of hands going up. Lots of hands going up. When I hit rock bottom in my life, Travis Moody threw me a dirty rag, my brother-in-law. And my nephew, his son, is here to support me today speaking. And he does every time I speak now. He said, when are you speaking next? Because I'm coming. Travis's dirty rag is one of the reasons why I'm standing here. Paul Lundy, his dirty rags are one of the reasons that I'm standing here today. Pastor Bradley and our First Lady, their rags are the reason that when I made mistakes in my life, that I'm still standing here today. Because they were willing to throw a rag out and say, you're not going to walk through this alone. We're going to walk through this together. So I left these guys up here. Now I want you to get close and I want you to lock arms. Because the enemy knows what we carry. And when he comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And God wants to, the enemy wants to pull us apart. But what we need to do is we need to get tighter. Because God wants us to link arms and never let go of each other and be there to pray with each other and lift each other up. Thank you, gentlemen. I should have left him up here because I forgot a line. Because it's no, devil. You can't have my family. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my destiny. And when you lock arms with that, and when you walk beside people like that one right there, and you walk beside Pastor Bradley, and you walk beside Delixon, and you have relationships with the Irizarries, and I can't sit here and name everybody that's meant something in my life, but a lot of you have been there in the early days around me. And we can't do it alone, and we're not designed to do it alone. And that's why in the church, the body has different functions, because when you all put it together, we can get some things done. We used to say it all the time. What did we used to say? Everything we need. Louder. Everything we need. It's in the house. It's in the house. What I need is right here. That's why I refuse, unless family's in town or unless we're out of town, I'm not missing church. Because what I need is right here. Don't ever underestimate what this house means to you and your family. That's why we encourage you to get plugged in and we encourage you to serve so that you feel like it's yours. Because this house, and I've watched it, guys, I've watched it time and time again. Sarah and I have watched it time and time again. When you step out, and I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just giving you the cold, hard facts. I've watched families and I've watched marriages. I've watched them leave this church because the devil allowed them to be offended. The devil allowed them to feel like they weren't cared for, whatever. That's what he wants. That's why I tried to start ripping those boys apart. They weren't ready. We didn't even rehearse that, and they didn't let each other go. But that's what the enemy wants. And I've watched families step out from underneath the covering of this ministry, and I've watched the enemy destroy their life. And I do not want that for you. He uses rotten rags, not just perfect people. And now I'm right where I want to be. In closing, 11:56, Pastor B. When Jesus, God in skin, came into this world, Mary wrapped him in anything that she could find in the stable, where donkeys and cows and chickens and manure and feces and afterbirth blood. This is why I wanted the rags up here. I could have just, all them puppies we had, I should have just left some of them rags, man. We just stunk this place. But can you imagine the stains and what Mary had to work with? When she's holding the creator of the universe in a barn in Bethlehem because there was no more room. And that's all she had. And that's what she used. Luke 2:12 says, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, a feed trough. See, there are certain places that I won't stay. there's certain places. If it's not a Hilton, or if it's not a Marriott, I've just seen too much stuff, y'all. Y'all know the uniform I wear. I've been into some hotels, motels, Holiday Inns. I've been, if they're in Levy County, I've been in them. Not in the wrong way, but in that uniform. There's just certain places I'm not willing to stay. But our God didn't walk down the star-studded steps of heaven and say, I'm too good for the dirty rags. He was born in a barn with filth and poop and pee. That's where he was born. You're not going to find him in some woke church, some social club. You're going to find him where the gospel's preached. You're not going to find it. Well, you'll find him now with streets of gold. But when he came here, he wasn't above and beyond those of us with dirty rags. See, he didn't hang out with the religious people. He didn't hang out with the ones who thought they were holier than thou. He was hanging out with people like us. He was hanging out with people like us. See, you'll find him where there's dirty, rotten rags that have clung to him and said, no, you're my righteousness. Not me. Not anything that I've done, but you. Because of you. Because of what you are willing to do for me. Tell your testimony. Share your story. Don't let your pain be in vain. Tell somebody what God has done for you. What God's brought you through. What God's bringing you through. Tell somebody. When was the last time you told your story to somebody? When's the last time you threw your rag down into that dungeon and you helped somebody get up out of there? The message to the king was, if somebody doesn't reach down there, if somebody doesn't reach that person down in that pit, they're going to die. That marriage will die down there. That husband will die down there. That wife will die down there. Those children will die down there. That brother, that sister that you know is struggling, but you've been there, they'll die down there if you don't save them, if you don't help them. They don't need another sermon. They don't need a doctor telling them what's wrong. They need somebody that's holding dirty rags that says, I've been there before. I've walked in that mud before. I've sunk in that filth before. And here you go. See, I needed a rag. But I got something for you. I understand your pain. I understand your struggle. And I understand why you may have climbed back up out of it a time or two, but you fall back in it. I've been there. Throw your rag and save somebody. You ready for the altar call? The worst situations in your life that you feel ashamed of, the one that you feel stains you the most, the one the world says and that people say, nah, you ain't coming back from this. There's sin. That's way out there. Can I tell you something? Sin's black and white to God. Your white lie and that murder's dirty rag, it's all the same. One of my son, wherever he is, his favorite scripture in the whole entire Bible is, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Because when you get a hold of that, when you get a hold of that message, that the person that you're sitting beside, that's in front of you, that's behind you, they're no better than you are. Their sin might be different. It may smell different. It may look different. And we walk around and look at people's sin and judge it and say, that's a 7 out of 10. That's a 3 out of 10. That's a 10 out of 10. But to God, you know, I love you, brother. I wouldn't pick on you if I didn't. We put a number on it. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But that darkest stain, that ugliest stain, that most shameful stain is exactly what our Heavenly Father wants to use. He doesn't need you to be scared of it. He doesn't want you to run from it. You heard it in the story. Our King has room in His treasury for your dirty rags. And you're the very one that God wants to use to show man, to show hell, to show Satan, to show all of your mockers. I can use that. And I will use it. And I love that part earlier where He doesn't ask people's opinion of you. He just says, I'm going to use you. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they know about you. I'm going to use you to save somebody. So that is the altar call. If you say this afternoon, God, I've been ashamed of some of the things that I've walked through, but I will be ashamed no more. I'm not proud of what I've done, but I'm going to use it to smack the enemy right in his face. When you bring somebody across down my road to my mailbox to mow my grass and you tell me that they need prayer or that they need my dirty rags, I'm taking my dirty rags out from underneath the bed, and I'm taking my dirty rags from the back of the closet, from the back of the storage closet, and I'm going to put them in my safe. I'm going to put them in my safe with my gold. I'm going to put them in the safe with my jewels, with my important documents, because what I've walked through and the pain that I've endured and the wisdom that I've gained from that pain, I'm going to have them in a place where I can get to them quick and I'm ready to use them. So if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not ashamed of where I've been. I'm not ashamed of what I've done, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to use my story for your glory. I had a feeling that I wasn't the only one. It's critical. They may die if you don't throw them a lifeline. Father, you see who's standing. You see your people. Lord, when you gave me this word, I knew it was for this house. And I thank you for the confirmation that came through Pastor Bradley and Miss Rachel. I thank you that you brought the ones in, Father, that needed this today. I thank you for the ones in their life that I don't know about. And for the ones in my life that I've shared with them today that were willing to throw a rag, that were willing to be on the phone at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, given a word from the Holy Spirit and praying for us and was willing to get in their vehicle wasn't always convenient. But when you're linked up like we were linked up in that illustration, it doesn't have to be convenient. The cross wasn't convenient. The flogging wasn't convenient, but you took it. So God, for all of us in here, give us the courage of sharing what we were once ashamed of, for sharing where we've been, for throwing a dirty, filthy, rotten rag to somebody else, Father, so that we can save them. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation in you. Only conviction. And they're not the same. So thank you. And now with everyone standing, I'm just going to give the benediction before we close. If you'll all stand with me this morning. Father, we love you. I've said that a few times this morning, and we do. We thank you for your presence, for your Son, for your Word, for your promises, for your presence in worship, in your Word, Father, just as Mr. Charlie prayed this morning, that your anointing would fall on worship, that it would fall on your Word, Lord, and I believe that it has. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you that as they walk out, Lord, that this Word has been sealed in their hearts. Father, that boldness, not shame, is at the forefront. And I thank you that we're ready. I thank you that we're ready to save somebody. Lord, I thank you for the men that were listed in this message, God, that are dirty, filthy, rotten rags, that made mistakes, that had character flaws. And Lord, that their stories are written out for us. And now let us write our story out for somebody else. So God, keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Lift up your countenance, your favor towards us, and give us peace, Father. Protect us as we go out this week, God. May we invite somebody to your house to receive, Father, what we received today. Hope, reassurance, peace, love. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Word today, God. I thank you for the impact that it's making and it's going to make on marriages, on lives, on individuals, on destinies, on futures. And God, we love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. I love you guys. Thank you for being here this morning. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.